Oh, Brian, the beats are pumping.
It's a Wednesday. What day is it? It's a Tuesday night. Oh,
we could have just pretended that we were like badass and out on like a Friday night in a pumping club.
Just to tell you how unbadass I am. So I drove here tonight and I prepared like
But you were drunk. No.
I was drunk. Okay.
No.
I prepared a flask of chamomile tea so that I can have it on the way home. So that I'm like ready for bed. That's how un-nightlife I am.
Yeah. I think our relationship just entered, like, we've moved from going steady to, like, true love.
Yeah, well,
with that. That is, like, the greatest thing I've ever heard. So, anyway, you've got, like, a firm? How do you say it? Firm?
A thermos.
A thermos. My brain stopped working there for a second.
Hashtag thermos.
Which is, I'm going to say, the greatest, one of the greatest inventions of all time.
It's wonderful.
I think, have I mentioned this on a podcast before?
About thermos?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I just think, like, every time I use one, I'm like, God, this is so cool. I went for a bushwalk recently and, like, made a coffee in the middle of the bush.
And it stays really hot, right?
Yeah. Just incredible. What an invention.
One of the great things that I remember, so at Red Rooster of Eastwood, which is the classic non-chain Red Rooster in Eastwood. I always remember a woman taking her thermos and giving it to the attendant at Red Rooster Eastwood and getting chips and gravy in their thermos. That's some serious commitment to chips and gravy.
That is.
Well, and to sustainability, which is wonderful.
But to be honest, the chips and gravy at that Red Rooster in Eastwood made people do crazy things.
There was a Facebook page of people like taking the chicken salt from Red Rooster of Eastwood to like the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, and for good reasons. It was
delicious.
That's the sort of stuff I love about Sydney. Like, and you know, I think in recent years there's been some challenges in keeping those places. So many of those places that had character have died off.
Yeah,
a lot of late night venues with that character have died off because of Sydney brought in lockout laws, which. Yeah, I guess if you're an international listener, which we've gotten masses of them, Brian.
Like, well, Georgian listeners.
Georgian listeners now after our last episode. But yeah, like there were laws that were brought in that kind of stopped people from being out too late, so they didn't get rowdy. But I thought, yeah, we mentioned last week to talk about late night food and late night eating, something that has been a little bit hard in Sydney in recent times. Not that it really impacts us too much, because I'm generally asleep by 9:30 at night.
Yep.
But in the past, there's some weird satisfaction I got out of getting a meal at like midnight or 1 a.m. Mm-hmm. And it's like a whole different experience. What about you? Like, do you have late night eating memories? Is there something that's stands out in your mind?
Well, I think about like drinking food, obviously, like after a night.
Yeah, you're generally a little bit pissed when you're eating at 1 a.m.
Yeah, that's right. And we'll have some science to back that up in a second. But in terms of personal experiences, I always remember Adam's Kebabs at St. Leonard's, because we always used to go drinking at St. Leonard's.
And I'm just mind blown, because I was like, I don't know what Adam's Kebabs is, but now you've mentioned in St. Leonard's, it's because drunkenly, everyone I knew always called it Kebadams.
What?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
It's like Kebadams. We're going to go to Kebadams, because it's like the mixture of Adams and kebabs.
Wow.
And I have eaten there now. Now, like, when you mentioned this to me before, I was like, what is this kebab shop? I'm like, oh, it's Kebadams. Oh, so, what were they known? Like, what did they... Did they do anything unique? Or is it just because it was open late?
It was open late. I think, look, they did do a really good kebab. I think they did the style of kebab where they don't press it, where they don't put it in the on the sandwich press. That kind of irks me. So they did just the meat kind of pan fried on the plancha on the top grill, and then they would just pile it into a fresh Lebanese bread.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a nice little dining room there. I had memories of a toddler being asleep in the corner in like a porta cot. So no, that was Adam Jr. And watching like some weird Turkish idol, like an Australian
the
idol.
TV.
Yeah.
And to a drunk mind, a TV in like an ethnic restaurant.
It was perfect.
It's just fascinating stuff. Absolutely fascinating. Yeah, so Kabaddams. Big shout out. Yeah. I don't know if they still exist.
I think they're still around, thankfully. The only other kebab memory I can think of is being in Berlin. And I think, obviously we did a lot of drinking. And we ended up at the same kebab shop 3 or 4 nights in a row. And we got something called a kebab box.
Yeah.
But it ended up being a halal snack pack.
Wow.
So this was, obviously there's iterations of a halal snack pack all over the country, all over the world rather. But at that point, and this was pre-Australia HSP craze, but I remember hitting that kebab shop multiple times. And actually, the jacket I wore here today was the jacket I had during that Europe trip. And I always have memories of sauce dribbling down the sleeve of that jacket.
When you walked in, I was like, Brian, you smell delicious. And I didn't realize it was like garlic sauce or something, or kebab juice. On my recent trip to Europe and Germany, I think my kebab count entered the 20s. I had quite a few drunken kebabs, but there was one in Berlin that was just like to the next level of fattiness.
Wow.
And I don't, like, when you're drunk, I think drunk and fatty foods seems to weirdly go together very well.
Yep.
But this one was like so insanely fatty. Like, it passed like, oh, this is too fatty, this is gross, to like, it just put you straight into a state of like ecstasy because it was like that level of fat. And like, there was just biting into it, like my Beck and I were just like eating it and just laughing. Like, it was so fatty, it was dripping everywhere, it was so good. And yeah, same thing, we went back there at least like 2 or 3 times. I'm just so happy actually that there's not too many. I say I'm happy just for my health, but that we don't have like the European style doona kebab in the fresh pita. If that was on offer here, I think like my late night life would change. I would probably actually go outside more often.
Just for the food.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think there was this one place in Granville that does like a German style kebab. And I went there, it was pretty good. But yeah, it didn't compare to being there and I guess the pedigree of Berlin kebabs. Although strangely, I had the 2 times I've been to Japan and went to Harajuku, there's a really awesome like German style or Berlin style kebab at the end of the main street of Harajuku. So yeah, travel tips there.
There you go. I wonder if Kebadam's been there.
Perhaps. It's possible.
I just had this other memory of like ridiculous memory of a late night food adventure I had. Probably the last one in Australia I ever had that was just like out of control. Like a night I hadn't seen anywhere. I was like, what is going on? And it was, I was with 2 vegetarians and we were just, had a few beers. Well, and it just kept going. And we had that Sydney moment at like 1 a.m., which was like, where can we go get food? And everyone, it was quite sad because the other 2 people were like, oh, there's nowhere to go at 1 a.m. in Sydney.
Especially not for vegetarians.
Yeah. And I was like, but I had like drunken confidence. I was like, follow me. And I didn't actually know where I wanted to go, but I just gravitated in the direction of Koreatown.
Solid.
In the middle of Sydney.
Solid.
Because generally, I don't know what it is about Korean-owned venues, but they just seem to be able to break the law. Or just like, it just doesn't seem like, they've always stayed open late. And like, it's, there's something about that area of town that seems like, almost like it's not Sydney. And we went there and I was like, oh, hopefully though, in my head, I was like, oh, there better be something open. And we ended up in like a Korean fried chicken place. I think it was Arison, which is, quite a well-known chain. I took 2 vegetarians to a fried chicken restaurant. Weren't really any other options, but I have great memories of both of them like cheating on veg, and they're like, one of them had not eaten meat in like 6 or 7 years, and they both like got it, and they were like, "Oh, this is so like so good." And then like I just saw them both go like pale from like the shock and realization of what they had done. But for me, that was a very fond late night memory.
There's something about late night. I think it there's a magic or a kind of a surreal vibe that happens, and these things happen. You know, people break rules, people get crazy, and they enjoy delicious food. So a show that typifies this dynamic was a show on the SBS called Kebab Kings. Oh. And I think they... Have you not seen it?
No.
Oh, God. You have to watch it, like, tonight. Late at night, maybe. But they put up cameras in a kebab shop in George Street in Sydney.
Yeah.
And in one in Melbourne somewhere. And they just filmed all the interactions and obviously all the usual drunk people coming in, but also, I guess, examining the lives of the owners. And they were both kind of immigrant. I think one of them was certainly an immigrant family, and the other one was maybe just a more established immigrant family. And it was just such a beautiful examination of the kebab shop as a vehicle of culture and a unifying element in Australian culture. And it's such a wonderful piece of media. So
okay, I'm gonna watch that tonight. That sounds unreal. Well, we should give people some context. I just heard the music go up a little bit in the background.
It's happening.
Do we tell them where we are?
No, we haven't. So we are.
So we've clarified that we're out on a weeknight.
Yes.
You've got your hot chamomile tea in a thermos.
Yes.
Ready.
But I do have a beautiful red ale from Brick Lane.
Yeah, it's really, really nice.
It's beautiful. And that's a hint to where we're at. So we're at the Sly Fox in Enmore.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very excited when they announced that they would be opening a pop-up restaurant called Salt Beef Bagel.
Because this is your, like, I think we mentioned this on a few episodes. Like, we did an episode about sandwiches and we talked about favorite sandwiches. And I believe yours was the salted beef bagel from...
Yeah, from Bagel Bake.
From Bagel Bake.
On Brick Lane. Yeah, so we're here. We've got a couple in front of us. Should we crack in, have a little taste?
Yeah.
Okay, you go first. I'll hold the mic.
All right. Thank you.
So we've got a bagel with some... I believe this is Wagyu pastrami.
Yeah.
It's quite thick cut.
Very thick. Very dense. It's got a lot of weight to it, which I've eaten the... I went to London just to try your favourite sandwich.
You've had it?
I have had it.
Oh, sick.
So this is going to be... But I'm now looking at this, I'm like, do I remember what the original tasted like? Also, probably one of the best things I've eaten, but I don't have like that clear taste memory. But
all right, Tim's going in. There's some pickle there and some hot mustard. Mm.
I just brought the bagel up to the microphone.
Yep.
Because we're so used to, like, when we've done this before, we've been eating fried chicken and you get like a crunch.
Yep.
But like the bagel's super soft.
Yes.
Which you kind of need it to be in this situation.
That's right.
It's just, yeah.
It's very comforting, right?
I think this is what food is meant to be. Mm. Just like, oh, I'm so happy.
Yeah.
But just like, yeah, the meat, everything just is so tender.
Mm.
Like even like the, and then the bagels, just like the perfect device for this salty, delicious meat to be in between. The pickles are great. It's got like, is it a, it's like a Dijon mustard on this. Was there a Dijon on the original one?
I think... Might not go as far as Dijon, maybe just like a hot English.
Mm.
It's not overly complicated, but it's wonderful. And this place has some delicious looking waffle fries, and they're delicious tasting. I can account for that. And they've got a beautiful sauce which they've called chip shop curry.
Yeah, chip shop curry.
Yep.
Very British, you know, the British phenomenon of late night drunken food is going to get a curry. So they've incorporated, you know, we've got Bagel Bake here, 24-hour 24-hour restaurant
in London
that this is the exact sort of food you'd want to eat at 3 a.m.
Mm.
And then they've brought in another just very comforting food as a side. They've nailed it.
Yeah.
And I just found out while I was speaking to the bartender here.
Yep.
This venue is open on weekends until 6 a.m.
That's pretty unheard of.
Again, we're talking about a city that is like has had laws that have been stopped people going out. She actually said, "Oh, we have food here to keep Sydney open." I'm not sure how that works, but maybe it's like, as like, you know what, Sydney can have a place where you can go out and have fun and eat food late. So,
yeah, look, I think it's a really admirable undertaking. And I mean, part of me, you know, when we talk about these late night laws, like the old man chamomile drinking, part of me says like, oh, just go out earlier. It's like just head out early, and you know, it's better. But then the part of me that remembers what it was like to go out late at night and to go to venues, go to gigs, and have those magical moments, that part of me thinks we need to have late night venues. That's where people hook up. That's where people meet their partners. Like I met my wife at Purple Sneakers.
I never knew that.
What time would it have been? It was probably like 11. But you know, we kicked on. But yeah, so if it wasn't for venues like Purple Sneakers, I think you know our birth rate would probably be dire. So you know, this is for the good of the country. But on a more serious note, I mean, this is about supporting creative industries or like hospitality industries. And trying to build a culture of a city that's not based around fear or the fear of one punches, but it's about trying to create something that's holistic and that's spiritual in a way. You know, it's creating connection and a sense of spirit in a city.
Preach.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, what do you think about up in this whole debate?
Yeah, like I had the same like thought, you know, when all this happened, I also was at a point of my life where I was definitely falling asleep at 9:30 at night, so it doesn't impact me that much. But yeah, it is, it always is and still to me, and it always has been like this weird thing where it's like, what right do you have to tell humans that they can't be out at a specific time? It's just like this very strange thing. And then being overseas in places where that just couldn't happen. Like literally if you tried to do this in Germany or you tried to do this in France, like yeah, there would be mass riots. And so it's just so strange to think that it actually happened here. And hopefully we're gonna have some changes that will, you know, allow for places like this to open till 6. I don't know, they're out of the area that I'm guessing is where the lockout laws apply, but and also like there are going to be some new late night laws brought in in Sydney that I'm not too sure they are necessarily the solution, but it's a positive thing to at least be able to have more options of things to do late at night in a city that has, you know, millions and millions of people. You think you could have that option? And yeah, I think maybe, Leah, like late last year, they said they were going to bring in some reforms that mean that some shops and eateries and businesses in Sydney will be allowed to trade for 24 hours a day. So there'll be more of that happening. But yeah, when this news came out, people were like, yay. But there was this part of me that was like, oh, this feels really weird that we have to celebrate our right to go to like a bookshop at 3 a.m. or like to go and eat a meal. I still don't know if it's going to mean many more bars. I still think our licensing and laws towards that are going to stop that from happening.
Yep.
But it's a good thing, but it does at the same time go like, feel just be like, oh, this like, how did that even happen in the first place?
Yeah, I mean, to me, this is all a game of behavioral economics, right? Like, we want to prevent violence, and that's really important. But we need to attack that problem through a multitude of means, and not just from a very authoritarian kind of draconian approach. And to me, it feels like it's like when you have these like these lockout laws and these drinking laws, it's almost like you're challenging the drunk mind to be like, how many drinks can you put away until like to 1 a.m. or whenever the time is. So if you put people into a position where they're challenged, and when you're attacking their freedom, they're already in a fear-based mindset, and that's only going to create more tension and unease in people. So like, I don't know, I'm getting kind of overly philosophical here, but everything we do, it has to be driven by connection, it has to be driven by collaboration, and by an open-spirited approach, and that's not what lockout laws are about. So no. it's got to be more holistic than that.
There's a food that they could incorporate into the laws. Is there like a food that would like reduce violence? If they like, you know how like bars in Sydney provide, you know, they have to provide water. What happens if there's like a food that they have to provide? I'm just thinking, what is the food that like numbs emotion? If you're giving fried chicken, I don't think anyone's fighting because everyone's just going to be starting to fall asleep at the bar.
Well, maybe these waffle fries. These waffle fries are pretty amazing. But
yeah, you couldn't like, if you had anger and you took a bite of a waffle fry as you're doing now, how do you feel? Like, or your problems have gone away?
I'm just so enjoying myself.
Mm.
I think it's important to really think openly about what foods could work. Maybe something with some serotonin in it.
Yep.
I think, oh no, maybe not serotonin, maybe tryptophan. So tryptophan is what makes you sleepy in some foods. So like turkey.
Ooh.
Maybe like a turkey bagel, that could work.
Okay, so, and that's only available post midnight or something like that. Just, you know, calm people down. You're allowed to stay out, but this is actually like, we're like the problem now. The government's listening to this and be like, yes, we're numbing the people. This is what we are after. But
as long as it's delicious. Delicious numbing.
But it's weird that, you know, these lockout laws have existed. And, you know, I think a lot of life has died down. But there are always these weird places that, like I was saying before, Koreatown. Mm. There's these weird places that kind of have lived on. And there's... I thought I could drop on you, Brian, my list of late night food options.
Yeah.
Are you ready? Again, yes, this is coming, half of these probably don't exist anymore because I don't go outside after, you know, after 8 p.m. anymore.
Yeah.
But so yeah, you jump into your bagel and I'm going to break it down. You know, so you got all your clients. We mentioned Golden Century before. I don't know if we did mention it. Golden Century, where we did... I don't know if you remember this, but we went for your Bucks party.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
It was a... was that your last ever big night?
It was one of the bigger ones, yeah. In recent memory.
Exo Pippies.
Exo Pippies, yeah.
What time's that place open till? 3 a.m.?
I think it's maybe 3, yeah.
And it's famous for being a late night, you know, if you're a hospitality worker or a chef,
it's a chef's
thing. Known, like, chefs have a routine of going to Golden Century and eating there, which is just, again, a beautiful thing. So that would be right there. That's right in the middle of Sydney, Golden Century, if you need a late night dumpling or Exo Pippi.
Dave Chang's favourite place.
Is it?
I think he's said that it's his favourite restaurant in the world.
So there you go. So that Golden Century. Oh, I mentioned before, Koreatown. Just head out into Pitt Street. Go to get some fried chicken from Arison or just pretty much anywhere that's open.
I tell you what's tempting for me is that when I'm coming home on the train and I'm changing at Strathfield, it's so tempting for me to like jump out into the street and get like a corn dog or some fried chicken and still be able to make it back to my train. That's dangerous.
And it could just be like, that could be the last train in Sydney. That's a risky move. But try it once. And see what happens.
I've done it a couple of times. Like
you've fallen for this temptation.
Yeah, and then I've obviously missed my train. my favorite stick at Korean places is one where they've got a multitude of things. They've got like fried chicken, and then the rice cake and the fish ball, and it kind of alternates. Anyway, it's delicious. Anyway, I'm interrupting your list.
And I'll give a shout out to Mamak.
Oh, so good.
Very, you know, famous. Pretty much as. Most famous Malaysian restaurant in Sydney, at least.
Yeah.
But yeah, just like...
So good.
I just travelled to Malaysia, and it's got a real culture of late-night food, actually. You know, you can very easily... There's a lot of these, you know, restaurants where you can go and just get a roti at any time of the day, or at least get something. Like, they might be like, oh, sorry, we only do that in the morning, but you can eat this. Mm. And yeah, same thing. We're in a city like Kuala Lumpur, which doesn't have, you know, it has like a third of the population of Sydney, and I was just still mind blown that I could just go anywhere and eat. So, you know, Mamak not open 24 hours, but you can at least go and enjoy a late night like roti canai, or go and enjoy a late night Malaysian feast, and it's
or dessert as well. They do like an amazing tower roti.
Yeah. Sweet grotty.
Or the one which is like kind of more thickly layered, served with ice cream. So yeah, it's a classic. It's so good.
Yeah, and I just found this one out. This blew my mind. Mr. Crackles, which is a restaurant that offers up, you know, crackling meat on a baguette. It's kind of a take on the Vietnamese pork roll.
Yeah.
Apparently open till 4:30 a.m. on Fridays and Saturdays. Again, maybe Sydney is changing, because if I had known all this all my life, I would be going out longer. And it's also nearby one of Sydney's best bars, The Bitter Few, which is, if you love craft beer, that's the place to go. And you can go up to the bar there and order it, and it'll just get delivered to you.
That's too easy.
At your seat. Too easy. I was going to say, we're in Enmore, I was going to say Fahim's Fast Food, famous late night haunt for taxi drivers, Pakistani and Indian food.
Yep.
Delicious food. I can confirm it's delicious, but I've recently maybe had a little bit of a stomach issue after eating there. So live a little and go eat there, because it's delicious anyway, and maybe, you know, who knows if that's where I actually got sick from.
Well, it's probably because you hadn't drunk enough. You didn't have the cleansing impact of the alcohol.
Yeah, I definitely didn't. But this, I'm going to end my list on one that I don't think ever makes the late night lists.
Okay.
But I just think it's the most, like, fascinating place in Sydney, and when it ever closes, I just think, like, we may as well just, like, shut the doors on Sydney. But in Darlinghurst, it hasn't shut its doors since the 1970s. Actually, they don't even have a lock on their front door.
Wow.
Because it never shuts. Cafe Hernandez.
Never heard of it.
It is I believe, Portuguese or Spanish place. I can't remember. But it's a cafe that is open 24 hours. So, like, if you want, it's a pretty alright coffee at like 3 a.m. and I have gone and done it. This is like, doesn't really, it's not like a necessarily a drunken place. Like, the late night crowd here are generally like insomniacs. There's always people like madly writing in books or typing away on a laptop. And then there's like the combination of like police, because it's near a police station. But then you get the people who are like generally running away from the police are also eating there. And it's just this place that's like a little bit of like, for at least 5 minutes when people go there, everyone gets along and everyone's a friend. So I got to give a shout out to Cafe Hernandez in Darlinghurst. If you haven't done it, go there, because it's like an experience in Sydney that once it's gone, there's going to never be a place like it. They have a piano in there, and then randomly on like once a week, there's a guy who comes in and sings. It doesn't sound real, does it?
It sounds like a really magical place. It sounds like that, like This American Life, something that somewhere This American Life would profile or something. Like it's the key to like solving crime in Darlinghurst or something. Like, it sounds magical.
Yeah, exactly. It's just such a special place. They do a crazy hot chocolate, like Spanish style, like pretty much just a cup of chocolate. And also you can get churros there. It's a Spanish place, clearly. Okay. Now I'm thinking about the food, but yeah, so that'd be actually, I'd almost put that as my number one on my list. And thank you for indulging me and letting me read out my list of late night options.
Well, that's an incentive. It's a challenge to us right now. Is, you know, it's, what's it like? I don't know. It's like 8 o'clock now, but
yeah,
we have to get to the late night just so we can go to Cafe Hernandez.
So you know, we always do this in the episode. I rely on you for some sort of, you know, knowledge that's not just me blabbering on about stuff. Is there any like science behind behind late night eating, or like why it is so appealing and so enjoyable to go and eat something like we're eating right now, you know, like a fatty delicious bagel, or to go and eat some fried chicken late at night?
Yeah, totally. So based on some findings or some experiments on mice, some British researchers found that alcohol directly affects the neurons in the brain that regulate ravenous eating. So that's a scientific basis for like the munchies or like
drunk
munchies.
So next time that my girlfriend is like telling me off for eating KFC, wanting to eat KFC at midnight, I'll go, it's science, baby.
Yeah. Is that mansplaining? I don't even know what mansplaining is.
Yeah.
Drunksplaining.
Drunksplaining, yeah.
Another 2015 study from the Netherlands found that alcohol causes us to prefer fatty foods. So that's, yeah, that's not that surprising, I think. And I think the alcohol also impacts inhibitions, so you're less likely to be able to resist, you know, the delicious calorie-laden kebab or whatever you're eating.
Yeah, or like, I even have found, like, you go into a service station late at night and there's like, you don't see many of them anymore, but there used to be like the hot dog, like the thing that's like constantly rotating.
Yeah.
And you're like, that is a, if you go and see that sober, you're like, this is a terrible idea. Because that could have been sitting there for a long time.
Yeah.
But drunk, I've even gone like, ooh, I'm at 1 a.m. I'm like, I'd dabble.
I'd dab it.
You know, no, dabble.
Oh, sorry.
And dab on it.
You dab on it.
Yeah. I just dabbed for if you need to see the action.
Yeah.
And you're listening, I just did a old man dab.
Okay, well, I'll be sure to include that on Instagram for the hashtag for our younger listeners. But yeah, I think it is pretty scientific, all of this. I mean, there's another study from the Indiana University School of Medicine suggesting that we're more responsive to the smell of food when we're drunk.
Ooh.
So, I don't know, maybe that's why we want stronger tasting food, like saltier food or spicier food. Certainly, yeah, there's always chili on my kebab, but that's drunk or not drunk.
Yeah.
For sure.
You'd be mad not to get chili on your kebab. Do you think, like, Subway pumps up the smell? There's rumors that, you know, is it a rumor or is it a fact that Subway intentionally, like, fans out the smell of the bread from their restaurants? I wonder if at, like, midnight, if they're just like, let's kick this thing into overdrive. If this is true, if the science is showing that the smell is, you know, very enticing to a drunk mind, Subway surely is already on that.
Well, maybe as a result of this podcast, the Subway executive are just, yeah, they're scheming. Mm. What would be the late night Subway called?
As in, wait, if a new chain or what would?
Oh,
what
no, if Subway eat? If Subway released like a late night version.
Oh God.
Subway nights.
Subway nights.
That's the least original on the on the brainstorming blackboard.
Why don't they do something called like Sub and Dub, which is a nightclub. Where they're like playing dub and then they like bring around platters of meatball subs.
Sure.
This is why I'm paid the big bucks, Brian.
This is the answer to Sydney's nightlife.
Yes.
That's Sydney's late night drinking problem.
Sub and dub.
Sub and dub.
So yeah, that makes sense though. Like, it's all stuff that like your science here is like, I've got enough case studies from my personal experiences where I'm like, yeah, I think this is true.
Yeah, like, you know, it's like what we say, you know, science and research can tell us so much, but n equals one and n equals me, you know, it's all about the personal experience and what you prefer. So yeah, as we always say, you know, whatever you do, however late you want to get drunk and whatever you want to drink or eat late at night, yeah, do whatever you like as long as you're not hurting yourself significantly or hurting anyone else. I feel like that's our mantra. Or our,
yeah, it's,
or our,
just do whatever
tagline.
You want,
yeah.
As long as you're not hurting anyone else. Like, yeah. That's, I think we've said that at the end of most episodes.
Yeah.
But I have one thing I just thought of that is, we often do is like we come up with a bit of a concept.
Okay.
You know, it might be our favourite sandwich. We've invented all these sort of things. But I just thought, I reckon we would have to stay out past 9 p.m.
Yeah,
that's going to be a challenge. But if you were to open up a late night restaurant or a late night venue with me, what could we do? I was thinking like late night food and psychology.
Because we
can make like toasties, and you know you gotta. There's a lot of people. Actually, no. It would just be you would have the worst time as a psychologist with like drunken people being like, Sharon doesn't love me.
Yeah, our this isn't gonna be in Penrith. This is where we're setting up. No, I think okay to prevent the potentially prolonged and perhaps tangential conversations or therapeutic conversations, it might be that you know we feed them and then I could talk to them about what song they want to sing at the karaoke in the karaoke booth, so they can therapeutically sing their sorrows away, or, you know, express whatever they're feeling in the form of late night karaoke.
Wow.
That's my plan.
So it's a...
Toasties. Toasties and karaoke.
Karaoke with a hint of psychology.
A hint of therapy.
Through song.
Yep. That's it. What's the name, though?
Help Me Sandwiches? No.
We're going to work on this one.
Yeah, but no, I think it's a good idea. If you've got a name or an idea for us, please jump on the 888 Facebook or Instagram pages, and if you want to buy into this idea, we've got a Kickstarter up and running. So, but I'd open up a late night venue with you. You're the one person, Brian, who'd get me out of bed for a big night.
Well, we were talking about Nissan Cubes before.
Yep. Off air.
Yeah, our friend Chris has got a Nissan Cube, and he wants to open up like a Japanese curry food truck with karaoke. So
out the back,
out the back,
of a Nissan Cube.
Yeah,
out
the back, or maybe, I don't know if it's Nissan Cube exactly, but probably. So yeah, we'll give him a call after this.
Cool. All right. Well, we're out of bagel and out of delicious sides.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have to go get another beer.
I'm craving one, mate.
All right.
Mate.
So thanks for listening. We'll see you again soon.
Yep.
You've been listening to 888.
Be good.
Bye.